This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Video. I mean, radio. I got the wrong format here. Radio tonight. Got to keep my stuff straight. Our topic tonight, ADHD research, interviewing ADHD experts with Totally ADD's Rick Green, who we're very excited to have in our virtual studio tonight. We're going to have a real good time with this. This was kind of inspired by a blog he wrote kind of last summer, and I realized it was kind of – we're a little bit unique in the ADHD world because we've done so many interviews with experts, me as a means initially to have something to talk about on social media, and himself kind of doing a documentary. But we'll talk about how our worlds kind of collided a little bit and some of the byproducts that were – at least for me that were unexpected, and then we'll talk about some having some fun. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, September the 10th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few quick announcements. The ADHD, the annual CHAD conference is around the corner. It's November 13th through the 15th in Chicago, Illinois. To learn more about that, go to chadd.org. It's a great conference. If you haven't been, you've got ADD, you need to go check out your tribe. This year, I know I'm excited. I'm going to be doing a breakout session interviewing Luca Fogua, who's a 19-year-old open-wheel race car driver trying to make it to Indianapolis with ADHD. I've been going back and forth with him and having some conversations about it. We're really pretty excited. We're also going to have a preview show of the CHAD conference at the 24th of this month, just 2 weeks away. We're going to be doing some interviews with some of the keynotes that are going to be there, just a little bit of excerpts of what's going on. Dr. Brown, a woman from Sesame Street, and some other things. So go make sure you check out that show and learn a little bit more about it. As always, too, we've been Dr. Barkley had asked us to continue to promote ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing site to raise funds for small scale ADHD research studies worldwide. And really quickly, what that is typically research is funded by somebody who's got an interest in it. And the idea here is to get some funds that they can be applied in areas that really make a lot of sense that might be kind of ignored. ADHD Awareness Month is around the corner. It's basically the month of October. And I encourage you to keep Attention Talk Radio on your calendar. We have the best lineup we've ever had. I mean, it's an all-star cast. We've got Dr. Barkley's going to come on, Dr. Hallowell's going to come on, Dr. Thomas Brown from Yale's going to come on, and we've got a particularly good episode with Dr. Anthony Rustain from University of Pennsylvania, and we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. All too often when you talk about addiction and substance when it comes to stimulants, when I go out there and I read this stuff, you get really, really kind of vague answers. And Dr. Rustain not only came in and answered questions, he got very specific with it. We had to pre-record that show. I've heard it, I've done it, and I got to tell you, it's spectacular. So in the weeks ahead, go check out what we've got kind of coming up. So I think that's all of our announcements. So let's get to the meat of the show. Again, we've got Rick Green with us tonight. He used to be better known as Bill the Bumbling Outdoorsman on PBS long-running series The Red Green Show, but I got to say he's probably starting to rise in popularity or notoriety, I guess, if you will, from his work in the ADHD world. He is the co-owned as the creator of the two groundbreaking documentaries on adult ADHD. The first is ADHD and Loving It. It's earned
ADD
critical acclaim.
And Loving It.
ADD, thank you very much for getting that right. It's run multiple awards. I mean, it's very well known. It spurred the making of the sequel, ADD and Mastering It, which is now running on PBS and promises to transform how 7 to 9 million Americans deal with the subtle saboteur ADHD.
I got to tell you, my wife managed to get the original documentary, which was no longer airing on PBS, back onto PBS. So stations are going to be running it. And if you have a PBS station in your area, make sure they run it. Write a letter, go to their website and feedback and say you should be running this, because they'll run it probably in November or December. And it is amazing. You know, you've seen it. You know the number of experts that are in there and the stories that are in there, and it's groundbreaking. So really excited to have that out there again. And, you know, we're talking about interviewing. Those were the first interviews I did, 9 experts in that film. And, boy, the interviews that we got, I was so nervous at the beginning.
Well, you're so nervous at the beginning, but you did a great job. And many of those experts that you had on then, I know that we've both been interviewing ever since then. And that what was really cool to me, and I'm not going to tell you about it, but there's a bunch of specific quotes that I thought were really amazing in that. One gentleman was talking about the practice of ADHD and what he had learned, which is interesting. And then Dr. Hallowell had made a comment about meds that was fascinating. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, because you got to go watch the video. But call your PBS stations, encourage them to play it, or you can go to the Totally ADD website and you can download it or purchase it by DVD. Is that right, Rick?
Yeah, it's available both ways. And if you're listening to this anywhere else in the world, and I know you have listeners all over the world, so
yep.
It is, thank goodness for the web. You can download stuff instantly, get it instantly, watch it, and then have your partner watch it, and then have your kids watch it, and then have your parents watch it, and then have the kids' teacher watch it, and so on and so on. And it's, what I like is that it changed lives. It changes viewpoints and lives dramatically, and people get it. But it was, I have to say that in doing the, you know, I knew I was ADHD, and I was dealing with it. But when we started to make the film, I think, you know, the biggest thing I've got out of all of the expert interviews we've done is how wide the subject is, how much there is to think about, and how it's still kind of in its infancy, you know, or, well, maybe it's toddlerhood, as one of the experts said.
You mentioned something. There's so much to it, and I have to tell you, I lost track of it. This is like our 250th episode or something like that, Rick.
Wow.
Just on Attention Talk Radio and topic, and I remember when I first started doing this, I'm like, okay, I'll do this for like about a year, and I'm going to run out of stuff. And I'm telling you, I stacked up right now. I drill down a little bit deeper, but I keep finding things to talk about. It's absolutely amazing. So I really like what you said. It's a huge breadth of stuff. Also, really quickly, before we get into some of the questions and stuff, I wanted to highlight the documentary in those films spurred the development of TotallyADD.com, which is a community for people to go to get some information. A lot of web-based stuff. You've got a lot of blogs. You know, we do an audio thing right here, but I know that we love to support what you're doing, because there's so much that really makes a lot of sense. And so I really want to encourage everybody, go check it out. Again, it's TotallyADD.com.
Yeah, the nice thing about TotallyADD.com is there are, I don't know, 65 short videos with all these experts and some really funny rants and all the rest of it. And then there is also this social media aspect where people can connect with each other, friend each other. And then there's another whole level, the forums, where I don't know how many thousand people a day come through there, most reading because they're afraid to actually log in, afraid someone might find out or whatever. But it is amazing the you know, we're talking about interviewing the experts and their knowledge, and then you start hearing from the people out there. And I can tell you how many times I've been on a panel. I can't tell you how many times I've been on a panel or something, and one of somebody in the audience or on the panel who has ADHD will say something like, you know, does anyone else find one pair of socks they really find comfortable and immediately have to buy 20 pairs of them because everything else bothers them? And there'll be a third of the audience, oh, yeah, I thought that's ADHD. So I think that's another big, you know, we're talking about what we've learned from the interviews. It is also how this filtering issue or this issue with our prefrontal cortex, with our executive function, with not necessarily sorting and filtering information efficiently, or at least as efficiently as other people might, the impact that has on your life. You know, you're interviewing somebody who's wants to be a Formula or an IndyCar driver,
yep.
And how many ADHD people speed because they actually
yep.
are a better
yep.
driver when they're going faster because they're wide awake. And you know, my story is always that I've had 6 car accidents, none of them going faster than 5 miles an hour. You know, because in a parking lot, my son gets his license and 3 months later hits a parked car in a parking lot, you know.
Yep. Touche.
So,
So one of the things that I want to do today is, first of all, I want to just real briefly kind of talk about this. When you started this, you started really just to do a documentary. You didn't really envision doing more interviews and developing TotallyADD.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very correct. I would say what actually happened was I was on the Red Green Show. We'd wrapped that up. I was doing another series called History Bites, which was a hoot.
Yep.
It was the only television series that's been on the Comedy Network and on the History Network. And it was groundbreaking and controversial. I actually had death threats for one episode we did, or a death threat, because we just exposed some of the hypocrisy of the world and the historical background of things. Anyway, it was, and then there was a break, and so I was talking to Patrick McKenna, who plays Harold on the Red Green Show, and he knew that I'd been diagnosed. He was 100% sure he was, because
yep.
a family member had gone through the diagnostic process, and he'd seen the charts and jotted down some of the tests himself and so on. So he knew. But as like most ADHD adults who strongly suspect, he figured, well, I got it handled, and hey, I'm an improv comedian, it works for me. And it was only, and I said, well, let's do a comedy special about ADHD as the theme. And so we went to the television network, and the television network said, we don't have any money for variety and comedy. We do have some money in a documentary fund. And we said, well, actually, it's a documentary about ADHD.
Yep.
That was called Dancing Quickly. And
yep.
And so in the process, we had Patrick getting diagnosed, basically, and then him and his wife talking. And Patrick did some of the interviews. I did some of the interviews. And holy smokes, he came away from it himself, just both he and his wife, Janice, who is so great in the film. People fall
yep.
madly in love with
yep.
her.
Absolutely.
She's so wonderful, and she's not a pushover. She's like, no, this is not happening this way, Patrick, or whatever. Anyway, it's wonderful to watch the two of them
yep.
together. And what I saw in them was the two of them, that penny dropping of, oh my God, I hadn't even thought of that. And
mm-hmm.
and I think that's been a big one for me. You know, early on, the name Dr. Thomas Brown came up, and they said he's pioneering. Somebody said you should interview him. He's pioneering stuff on emotion. And I didn't get that connection. I thought that was like screaming hysteria fits. And I rarely had those unless something really bad had happened. Like my kids hadn't called for a day and a half, and you know, then I'm allowed
mm-hmm.
to have it. So I didn't see that. Maybe I tended to overreact to things. Anyway, when we started to doing the actual, some of the tests on air and having Patrick doing them, and I started, and then he and I talking together on camera about
mm-hmm.
emotions and stuff, you started to see, geez, I'd never even thought of that. But, you know, nobody in the world is very good at self-assessment. We just aren't, right? But
mm-hmm.
ADHD people, because, you know, you're wired this way from birth, you know, unless it's, you know, a car accident's caused a head injury, but assuming you've been this way since birth, it's normal. It's your normal. And there was a moment in the film near the end where Patrick talked about medication, and the film almost didn't make it on PBS because it actually said medication is an option rather than, you know, they're trying to turn our children into robots. And what was interesting is he said, I'm actually looking forward to trying it because I want to experience that feeling that other people have of just for a few minutes, just
yep.
calmness, because I've
yep.
never had that. And my wife was listening to that, and at that moment, it was like a knife in her heart, because she had not really gotten what I was going through and had said, you shouldn't be taking medication, and I had stopped for a while. I'd stopped for years, actually. But at that moment, she said, I can't imagine that, and I have no right to. She got that whatever's
yep.
going on with me, as much as she loves me and as much as she's learning, she said, my opinion can't does not trump your experience. And that was really powerful. So there are these moments that happen for both of us when you, and you know this, where you're interviewing someone, an expert, and you have this epiphany for yourself. And the best part, I think, is that you then are, sometimes you're able to ask a question, and you, the best of all is, well, nobody's ever asked me that, or that's a great question.
Yep.
And so I love that. Yeah. And yeah, so we made this documentary, and then we found out the shortage of doctors, and we had to do the website.
Yep.
And we got funding to build the website, which paid for the website, but not us. We went 18 months without income. It was a spooky time, I'll tell you. But we were driven to do this.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Now it's taken off. So.
Yep, absolutely. So you said something that I need to go to break here for a second. When we come back, I really want to kind of spend a lot of time, because you articulate it very well, the epiphany. And I've had a lot of those
great.
In some interviews. And when you described, you know, Ava going, you know, my opinion doesn't trump your experience, that's just really, really powerful. And I'm going to share one with you that you shared with me, that it was your experience, but you told me it's been very powerful for me ever since. And then I want to kind of go to break, and we'll come back and we'll tell some of the stories. And you were describing to me that you were with Dr. Teplin one time, and there was, I don't remember if it was a news show or whatever, but they had Colin.
It was
a call-in show,
TV show,
yep.
Yeah.
And the guy was anti ADD, and was, I don't remember the details, but I just remember he was kind of coming at Dr. Teplin, and he just, as you described it, he calmly said, "Oh yeah, that's what I used to think."
Yeah, I'll give you the details. That's a great story. Yeah,
I was like, "Holy cow!" Because it stops the guy in the tracks, and I was like, "Whoa!" When I heard that from you, I'm like, "That's amazing." And I've interviewed Dr. Teplin my own side, and off interviews and stuff, we've had a conversation. He goes, "Oh, I remember that," and he was almost saying like, "What's the big deal?" I'm like, "Well, you just said it so calm, cool, collectively. It was an aha because I didn't see it coming, but it's such a great way of dealing with some people." So, again, I want to kind of cover that stuff when we come back. Everybody listening, learn more about Rick. Check out their videos, their blogs, everything by going to totallyadd.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Rick Green, and we're about ready to have a blast here. Rick, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of go forward and just talk about kind of not in long stories, but snippets. And I got a few that I'd kind of like to share of those situations where you're interviewing and somebody articulated something really well. It just kind of stood at you. That's a little bit of an aha. And I tell you what, I'm going to jump in and kind of go first. I remember I was interviewing Linda Rogley years ago. In the middle of the interview, she's talking about, oh, is it ADD, AGE, or menopause. And it was funny because I didn't pick up AGE as in age. And then like 30 seconds later, I'm like, oh, my God. And it really kind of came together. And it was funny because everything that she had said beforehand had really made a lot of sense. And I had never considered that because I'm a guy. And all of a sudden, I just had a flood of ahas that were kind of coming in that was really kind of amazing, because as you grow older, your attention deteriorates, your memory kind of deteriorates, and the hormonal imbalance. And I began to realize why she's so good at what she does. So that's just one of them. Rick, your turn.
So I'm interviewing Linda Rogley, the same, the ADD
yep.
diva, and it's the first time we've met, but of course she knows me from seeing the videos
yep.
and seeing the program on PBS and referring clients to it and referring clients to our website and all of that. And so we're having a great time, and she opened right up, and we just got going. And at one point she actually talked about the fact that she wanted to kill herself. She was ready to kill herself. I don't know if she actually said she attempted, but she was prepared.
Yep.
That was it. She was done. And then she went, oh my gosh, Rick, I've never told anyone this before, in
wow.
public. I mean, and there was this moment of, and I took that as a compliment, because, you know, there's a cameraman and a sound
yep, yep.
guy in the room.
Yeah.
And Ava's at the back of the room taking notes and so on. But there was this, what I got from that moment was, man, when we feel safe and we can be very open about what is going on
yep.
with us. And that I think is, you know, I know there are people who are terrified because of their job. And if you think you think people are not going to take it well at your job, don't tell them. But, you know, I'm in a job. I'm a professional
yep, yep.
comedian, right? I make people laugh, so it was fine for me to come out and do this, because everyone would kind of went, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," even though they
yep.
didn't know what ADHD was and they didn't know how much I was suffering.
Yep,
because,
yep.
Oh, you're on television.
Yep.
What do you mean? You know.
So I have to jump in. I did an interview with Ari Tuchman years ago. It was like November 2011, I think, and the topic was disclosure. And in that interview, he was talking about the difference between an explanation and an excuse. And it was funny because I didn't talk to him beforehand, and he described it, if you use ADHD as an excuse, think of like you got a ball, and that ball's a burden. When you say it's an excuse, it's like giving it to the other person and saying, okay, now it's your problem, you've got to manage this. But if it's an explanation, you're just explaining what's going on, but it's still your responsibility to kind of manage it. And I thought that was really kind of a powerful metaphor. An excuse is you're pushing it, and it's a burden for somebody else. And an explanation, you're not trying to say it's your problem, but you're just explaining why it happens. In the interview, he also started talking about disclose the symptoms and not the diagnosis.
Yes.
So if you're having a hard time with time, you don't have to say, I have ADHD. All you have to say is, I struggle with time, and I'm not offended if you want to call me 30 minutes before I'm supposed to meet you. That way, the cat's not out of the bag, because as I've learned, if you disclose your ADHD, people might be empathetic at that time, but if the situation changes, they can actually use it against you. Not
Absolutely.
That they're malicious, but that was a real powerful interview from my perspective, just on those two differences. The difference between an explanation and an excuse, and disclose the symptoms and not the diagnosis.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is that everybody loses stuff, so I'm allowed to lose some things now and then. Ava
yep.
loses stuff. And, you know, we have been so busy in the last 5 years since the documentary, since we started making the film and then the follow-up, and now I think there's like 9 or 10 different videos available on all these different
yep.
topics that we've done. And there's a lot to think about in a day these days. And so there have been stretches, and I've bitten my tongue from saying it, but there have been stretches where we're chasing after her keys, her wallet, her purse,
yep.
her whatever. And that's really been, you know, that's just, okay, first of all, it's a sign of, I think I'm getting my own stuff handled a lot more.
Yep.
And
yep.
that it's also a sign that, yeah, these days everybody looks ADHD. So it's tricky, because you can dismiss everything as, well, that's my ADHD.
Yep.
No, maybe it's
yep.
just, I say to Ava sometimes, you know, she said, did you take your pill at like 3 p.m? She'll ask if I'm a bit, I'll say, yeah, it's just, this is a busy day, right? And it's
yep.
like, okay, yeah. So,
It's funny. I can't help it. I did an interview a couple months ago with a guy that I met online that has a blog called Tom Nardone. And the topic of that interview, basically, we talked about a story. And he recounts, you know, there's a guy who's having a hard day at work. He kind of comes home, and the toilet breaks up, and he's got to go down to the Home Depot, and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And he has ADD, and the wife blames it. Well, it's your ADD. And he's like, no, if you think about what's going on, anybody would have reacted how I am. This is not my ADD. This is just normal life. And it was kind of it was a cool video, because one of the problems is if you've got ADD and something goes wrong, it's automatically always the ADD, and there's not. There's a certain amount of just that stuff happens in life. You know, people lose their keys. It doesn't mean if Rick Green loses his keys, it's all his ADD. A certain portion of that's just part of life. So
yeah, absolutely. But it also then what is the thing that I really like, one of the things that I've found so interesting in learning about is the comorbidities, as they're called, the secondary things that are going on. So, for example, Patrick, like 40% of people with ADHD, he has a learning disorder, dyslexia. And I remember on Red Green Show, we didn't use Telecue, and they had tons of lines to learn, and it was amazed me. But, you know, he did some guest stuff on History Bites, and, you know, he's on one show after another, the Murdoch Mysteries he's on, and you name it. He's been on all these different shows. And, Telecue, not necessarily, he said it's not necessarily my friend. So learning about these other things that are going on, depression and anxiety disorders, all of these comorbidities, and of course then the range of addictions that we can get into, because they give us the dopamine, right? So all of those things, I found that very interesting. And you mentioned Tony Rothstein earlier, and Anthony Rothstein, the interviews we've done with him have been wonderful, which actually reminds me, like what I loved about Anthony and so many of the doctors that we've interviewed is they're beautiful people. They're like, they're interested. They're interested. You would want them as your friend. You would want, you could spend hours just sitting. And I could, you know, we had breakfast with Dr. Rothstein, with Tony, when we were down at the University of Pennsylvania where he works. And it was, I didn't want breakfast to end. We just yak. And
It's fascinating how much those guys, it's just a learning experience. And I have to apologize, because there was another interview that I did that you sparked with the comorbid conditions. We've done a few shows on dyslexia. And number one, we did a show on the book, The Dyslexic Advantage, and I have to credit Nancy Rady. She basically, I met her years ago at an ADHD conference, and she grabbed me and she said, you need to read this book. And it was fascinating to me, because it was a spectacular thing. But where I'm going with this, I also interviewed a Deborah at a period of time who had dyslexia, who had great metacognition describing what she was. And it was really cool, Rick, because we're having this conversation. She says, you know what I do is I use Google for spell check. I thought, what? So, if you put it in there, it kind of corrects it. Even if she'll put in phrases and stuff, and it'll kind of crazy. And I actually went and tried it, and, you know, Google is great. I had dyslexia myself, and I was like, holy cow. And it was like we put on social media. It was like one of those things like I never dreamed. And that's one of the fun things about interviewing people is you get these little things that are completely unexpected that are just like, oh, my God, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, and so many of the doctors, too, are full of – there's a common theme in so many of the doctors that we've interviewed is if it works for you, keep doing it. And if it doesn't, stop. And we've interviewed probably a dozen doctors from Canada, some of the stories they have, that it's a different set of rules and so on and so on. But there is in Canada and I think all across the United States, there is this excitement about it. And the doctors, the other thing that I get is the doctors are learning from their patients. And I'll tell you a quick story. We interviewed Dr. Margaret Weiss, and her mother, Gabrielle Weiss, was one of the kind of early voices, pioneers in ADHD in kids and getting it seen as an issue that is not to do with morals or bad behavior, but is in fact something going on in the brain and so on. And she told the story about when she, because we just interviewed the doctor, Lydia Zalowski, Zalowska, rather, about mindful meditation. And she, and so Margaret said, and it was great, I'd ask a question and there'd be this 8-second pause. And I thought, is something wrong? And this was the second interview, because she was in the documentary. Yep. We did this last fall. And then she would go, When I first heard about mindfulness for ADHD, I thought, what? They don't need that. They are already the most mindful people. They are, they're totally in the now, totally in the moment. But then I learned, and then I started to realize that they aren't at all in the moment. She went on and on. Every time I finished the question, she'd be working out how she was going to phrase it. And I couldn't be with the pause, right? So I'd think, and so I'd add more details. And finally I realized she's going to say it in a beautiful way. And so I asked another question, about emotion. And she said, a boy comes home from school and throws his bag on the floor, and the mother says, put that away, and she went through this whole thing. The boy, who's had a bad day, turns to the mom and says, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, and goes up to his room. And the mother is shaking and calls her doctor and says, I'm going to need 6 more years of therapy, my child hates me. And 3 minutes later, the child comes down and says, let's go for ice cream. And mom says, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You said you hate me. Oh, I did? Oh, Mommy, that was a long time ago. It was great. The way she told the stories, and this was someone who was living with this, and just what I got from that was she loved the people she was working with. She just said it herself. She admired the people with ADHD because they had this extra stuff going on, and they had found ways with help and with guidance and with working with other ADDers or with doctors, they figured out ways to turn it to an advantage and to minimize the challenges.
Yep. So I have to jump in here because you're telling these stories and I'm having boom, 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 boom. You talked about the pause. First of all, everybody, you did a great impersonation of her. The voice inflection is really was very well done. I thought you were her. So
no,
there was that.
I'm not.
The other thing too is the whole pause. We actually did a whole show with David Gwork on the power of the pause, because as an ADHD coach, if I can get you to pause, I'm done, because when you pause, you're in choice, which was a moment. But then you tripped another one. I interviewed you, I think it was about a year ago, and we were talking about the power of a story. And what was interesting to me is that, people, statistics don't sell, stories tell. And I'll never forget this. This wasn't on air, but you and I were talking, maybe it was Detroit, I can't remember, and you made a reference. Because of my swimming background, I swam in Olympic trials in 1884 and all that kind of stuff, so it's near and dear to my heart. But you said, you remember back in the old days when you used to watch the Olympics, it was event after event after event after event. Now you watch the Olympics or SportsCenter. SportsCenter is really, ESPN is nothing but a soap opera. But it's 25 minutes of a story and then 2 minutes of the event. And it was interesting to me because I began to see that in our world right now, and it never occurred to me. But it was so spot on. It was aha moments like that in these interviews. And the whole story that we did on the power of the story, which I really had to resonate, because those are the unexpected things that you learn in interviewing people, which is the fun part of the research that we do.
Yeah, a statistic like 50,000 people are starving in the Sudan is not going to make you burst into tears. A camera shot of 4 children with bloated bellies and flies on their faces, and one of them is dead, and the other 3 are on the verge, is going to make you burst. There's putting a face, putting a story, especially the story. How is this going to end? These children are like, that is what moves us. That's what we're interested in. And then on a core level, it is how we make sense of the world. So our stories, whether our collective mythology and the religious stories that we have that are handed down, where depending on where you live, different religion, different stories. But all of those, you can list the 10 commandments. That could be it, basically. Maybe you could add another 15 or so. But basically, you could actually live by the golden rule. Just tell people, unto others as you would have them do unto you. So would you steal? No. Would you covet your neighbor's wife? No. Would you? You could. That one covers everything. But it kind of sits there, or you can go, oh, that's good. But when I say to you, guess what? Guess who stole something? We're drawn in. Somebody stole something. Guess who's having an affair? You're drawn in. Or guess what happened? Or you want to hear something heroic. You want to hear. I think story has this magical power. And I think it's interesting the kind of story that says something about where we are in our lives, the kind of stories that we're interested in. And that's a, like I'm finding early on when we were doing interviews, the stories were often of people suffering and struggling. And now, and partly it's because we did ADD and mastering it, which is really about what do you do about it and what works. And we've done this a second video, I think it's 75 minutes long, on a holistic solution to ADHD, and it deals with all these different things that, you know, exercise and lifestyle changes and so on and so on and so on. And yes, even medication, does it, you know, is that one of the, because holistic meaning everything that works and forget stuff that doesn't. And in the process of that, there's also been, I think, a shift towards, okay, I got it. And it's impacted my life, but now I'm interested in what can I do about it? What, how can I move forward? Because although I am fascinated by this, and you know, my, this has become my life now in dealing, doing this, I get that for a lot of people, they want to get it handled, and then they want to get on with what interests them, which might be, as you know, your interviewee is going to be a race car driver. Or a disc jockey, or a parent, even just a parent who, you know, someone who believes, geez, maybe I am reliable enough that I could actually have kids. And that's another one for me, I think, in interviewing people is has been a couple of people who said, it wasn't an interview, it was actually somebody who booked me for the interview. They called up and said, we want you to come on and talk about science fiction, and because I'd done this science fiction series many, many years ago. And I said, well, you know, I'm doing this right now with ADHD, and there's probably this person you should talk to. And they went, ADHD? So she said, let me see if we can get you on because it's a show about parenting. So they had me on. And the woman who booked me is listening. And, you know, she has her epiphany as I'm talking to the host during this radio show. And she contacted me on Facebook and through the website and friended me on the website on Totally ADD. And just – and she – she said she recently acknowledged me and said the biggest contribution anyone has made to my life is Rick, you know, is Rick Green for this transformative moment of getting what's going on. And she told me that she never had kids because she didn't think she could trust herself. And now she knew that she could trust herself if she knew what was going on. And she was too, it was too late to have kids. And I thought, oh, God, I you know, if you want to have them. And you don't know why you can, you don't, you know, anyway. Knowledge, well, knowledge.
I'm going to digress here. From what I learned, because we did a show many years ago, there was a, I have to be careful here because I don't want to fuel the fire, but there's been some negative press from a couple newspapers around ADHD, and the reason I don't like to do that is because you don't want to send people to go do that. But it's interesting because they've used stories to sensationalize and demonize certain parts of ADHD. And to me, it's not necessarily fair because when they do that, they strike fear, and there's a whole bunch of nameless, faceless people out there that could use some help that don't do anything because of the fear of what they've struck. On the other side of it, I'll never forget in 08 when ADD and Lovett was on Global TV, and I wrote to I ended up contacting, it's the first time we ever talked, and I said, there's something here, because I think the power of the documentary that you did was it was about a story, and you could put faces to it. And I'll never forget, this is the first interview I did with you and Patrick was, I think it was like April of 11, and you kind of came together, and I didn't realize that he was actually, when you watch the documentary and he's on the couch with his wife when it opens, that's real. He hasn't been diagnosed. That's the first time he goes through the questionnaire. And the reason I think it's that you guys have such an impact is you put a name and a face on it. And when you look at his story, and everybody, and you're listening out there, that's one of my stories is I didn't most of that stuff is acting. It's prescribed. That was live. That was the first time he was answering those questions.
And
I'm not misrepresenting anything, right? That's real, right?
No, they had no idea what was coming. I sat him down on the couch. I mean, he's a professional comedian, right? So he's funny anyway. But she more than held her own. She just kept nailing him. It was so great.
But that wasn't scripted. That was live. I mean,
and
he was responding. Go ahead.
They went for 2 hours on that couch, or 3 hours. We and about every 30 minutes, the camera, Kenny, the camera guy, would go, you know, would find a moment when I was asking a question, say, Rick, we need to change. And eventually they worked out a signal, so I would wrap it up, and so they could change the cards and the tape. I think they were actually using tape at that point still rather than computer chips. But it is – there is this, it's so neat, that live aspect of, well, I mean, live radio like this. And the interviews, another, you know, we're talking about in interviewing people, there is this, the joy of television and what we do is we can take and cut out the highlights, or we could take five different experts all saying roughly the same thing and put them back to back to back, but giving you different takes on the exact same thing. And I think there's something incredibly reassuring about seeing, it's one thing to see Dr. Halliwell say that, you know, medications, ADHD medications, when used properly, are safer than aspirin. And then a second doctor to say, French-Canadian doctor say, the, you know, statistically, the ADHD medication is safer than aspirin. And we had a third person say it. We didn't include it just because there's a time limit. And what I love about having the show on PBS is it's commercial-free, so we were actually able, for the PBS version, it's, I think, 17 minutes longer than the original. So it just, there's so much more in it now, which I love. But there was... there was so much great stuff. So I'll tell you a couple of quick stories. So when I'm interviewing...
If I can, Rick, I need to run to a commercial break just from a time perspective. So let me go do that. Everybody, go to totallyadd.com. Check it out, the blogs, the videos. There's a ton of information there. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Rick Green, and we're telling interview stories. And, you know, Rick, we could probably do this for 2 or 3 days. Easily. It's kind of funny because I've got a Word document that's 36 pages long that just includes the title and the summary of all the shows that I've done. It's kind of funny because I'm flipping through this going, I could go on for days on this. Before we jump into it, I want to just give some snippets and then let you tell a couple stories. Some shows that kind of pop out to me as interviewing Steve in coaching those with ADHD. Many of them, when it comes to religion, they'll describe that they're in church or synagogue or something like that, and it's time to pray, and they're supposed to have this intimate relationship with God, and their mind's wandering. They notice their mind, which is kind of a meditation type thing where I'm looking at the floorboards and thinking about yesterday and tomorrow, and they bring themselves back, and I'm supposed to be praying, and they beat themselves up. And I was interviewing Steve Gundy years ago on the impact of ADHD and religion. He talked about how he realized that, and it helps him focus to journal, and he talked about taking a notebook, like a spiral-bound notebook, and can you imagine sitting in church with a notebook and just taking notes, or when it's time to pray, you actually write out the prayer that you're saying? For him, that helped him focus, and I was having like an aha moment, like, why wouldn't you do that? But I've never seen it in church before. So I kind of throw that another situation is I'm interviewing Rob Todisco in a series of interviews, and we were talking about recidivism. Basically, you're in prison and you got ADHD. He said, you know, when you go in, you can't take the medications, you don't get counselors, you don't have a calendar, you don't do to-dos, you're basically marched around and everything. So everything, all the structures that you would want to use to help maintain it, and all the life skills that you would want to learn to do that are all taken away from you, and then you come out and they put you out into the world into a boring job and say, go function. But they took away everything that you needed in order to be able to go function. And I was like, oh my God, again, I just want to kind of share just some snippets. These are the types of things that are so cool when you're interviewing those experts that just kind of come up and you never really thought about it. Oh, one other one is I'm interviewing Dr. Andrew Cutler. And I use this in presentations all the time because I do a lot on sports and exercise. And he said, you know, and literally, he said, stimulants dehydrate you. I'm like, okay. He said, just like coffee. But you know something? They also suppress your urge to drink. And so if you're an athlete and you're taking stimulants, it's going to dehydrate you and you're executive functioning system is already taxed to begin with. So if you dehydrate it, it's worse, and the stimulants accelerate that, but it's even worse because you don't even have the urge to drink. So most people have the urge to drink when they become dehydrated, but yours is suppressed, and it makes it that much worse. And I'm just kind of going, oh, my God. Anyway, I just a few things that I kind of want to sprinkle in that were just like kind of small snippets. These are the really cool things that you experience when you're interviewing people that don't come out in articles and other print media. So with that, I'll turn the floor over back to you for a couple of your stories.
Well, one of the conferences we interviewed, I had the privilege to interview Russell Barkley and Gina Pera. And we arrived, we borrowed this really nice microphone and camera, and it turned out the microphone cable had a problem. So the interview, although it didn't show up for some reason on the headphones that the camera guy was working, the interview was useless. There was just this all the way through it. And it faded enough when we got towards the end of Gina Pera that it wasn't bad. But we had this interview with Russell Barkley, the top three people. His name will always be in those top three. And we couldn't use it. So just like about 3 weeks ago, I said, look, we've got this interview. The information in here is incredible. Let's just turn it into a transcript and make it available. So that's what we're doing. It'll be a PDF that people can download. And with Gina as well, because she had some great stories. And the neat thing, and this is another moment, is that when we went out to California, Gina insisted we stay with her. So I'm doing an appearance at the PBS station. We're staying with Gina Pera, who wrote, Is It You, Me, or Adult ADHD? And in talking with her about it and all the difference she's made, she's going on and on about the number of people that in this, what she calls her salon, this group who meet. She's telling the story of it.
Yep.
And at the end of it, I said, do people, you must get such a reward. And she said, it is rewarding. I said, then do they, you know, thank you. And she paused and she went, you know, not all. I said, I've been doing this 20 years and what I've gotten so far was someone gave me a $10 coffee thing, certificate or whatever, like a coupon for $10 off at a coffee chain. That was a thank you for saving my marriage or whatever. And I thought, at the time I thought, boy, I started to realize how I don't acknowledge the experts who spend time with us, and I'm much better at that now, who are doing the interviews with us. But, you know, just acknowledging the audience when they come out to a conference like Chad or for finding a way to make it work to be there. So that was really interesting. And Gina was, you know, Gina is so smart. You said before we went on the air that you and I probably have a PhD in ADHD from the interviews.
Yep.
Gina, I think, well, Russell Barkley actually said to Gina, I think at one point said, you basically have an ADHD. She's a journalist by trade, and she wanted to find out. So that's been really interesting.
Yeah, and I have to tell my own Gina Pera story. Years ago, I wanted to do a story on the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy, and there really wasn't much out there. Daniel Amen had referenced it somewhere, but I really couldn't find it. In Gina's book, You, Me, and ADHD, there's a chapter that kind of talks about it. She had done a survey and some stuff, and I brought her on the show. Another aha moment, she was kind of talking about, or we were sharing stories about sex and intimacy, and those with ADHD, some of them self-medicate with it to a degree, but some of them can never even get in the act because they're paying attention to other things. And there's a story I talk about, a woman who was like, I get distracted because I hear the fan and I think, what would happen if the fan went off, the electricity would go off, the refrigerator would go off, and then what would happen to the waffles in the refrigerator? We were having a huge chuckle on that, and it was illustrating that those, some with ADHD, there's no sex text because they're so distracted. And then she said something really powerful. She said, there was a woman one time who came to me, and she took stimulants. And for the first time, she could have an orgasm because she could actually pay attention to what was going on. And I remember sitting there, I was like awestruck in the interview going, you got to be kidding me. And it began to make all the sense in the world. She could finally focus on herself in order to have that experience. And so that's one of my Gina stories.
And I'll tell you, Margaret Weiss said that she prescribed a stimulant for a young boy, and the mother said, I was so anxious, I gave him the pill on the way home, and I finally found the little boy that was inside. We had a conversation. He could finish sentences. We talked, and he gave me a hug. He said, it's the first time he could just hug me and hang on and not squirm away. And she said, I've never had that with him. That was a moment where I just got that around medication. If you do try it and you find something that works for you, what I found was that medication actually, my fear, and I think everyone's fear, is it'll make you less of who you are. It actually made me more of who I am. It's, you know, it's very hard to be yourself when you can't focus on anything, when your mind is racing away, when you're drawn and you're seeking that dopamine by, you know, scrolling and, you know, or through things or texting while you're driving or whatever it is you're doing, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's been some really, like, every interview has been interesting. We're actually doing a webinar next week with Dr. Mark Burton, and he came in and he was very dry looking, and glasses, and he looked like he could have been the quietest person in the world, and he had joke after joke. He was funny, he was interesting, his stories were moving. You know, he was talking about the book he's written, and he's going to be talking next week about parenting, and it was, again, there was this. There's this level of mischief and whimsy and delight. I wouldn't say Russell Barkley is whimsical. I think he's very intense, but he's kind. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's such a misunderstood and dismissed diagnosis that the doctors who have made it their life's work and have seen the suffering and have seen the difference it makes, maybe that's part of it. We're all in this together, you know. We're trying to work our way through.
I can't help but do this because I've heard you speak on this before. When a couple years ago in Orlando at a CHAD conference, they had Dr. Barkley and Dr. Hollowell up on stage as keynote about their stuff. It was almost, you described it one time, it's like everybody's like walking in for this boxing ring because they're being cast, and it was kind of funny because Dr. Hollowell is like the message of hope, and Dr. Barkley was kind of like demonized as the very negative
type
person.
The voice of doom.
The voice of doom, they come together, and like 90% of everything they kind of agree on. But you have to understand where they're coming from, because Dr. Barkley is talking about normative data. And Dr. Hollowell, when he's meeting with somebody, he's talking about hope. And if you understand the context, or this is Attention Talk Radio, if you pay attention to how they're paying attention to it, you begin to come where they're coming from. Well, all that being said, we actually had a show with Dr. Barkley on talking about that particular concept and really kind of how it's kind of coming together. And it was fascinating to me because you begin to understand what's kind of going on. But what most people don't really realize is that Dr. Barkley, his twin brother, died in a car accident who had ADHD because it runs in their family. And when you understand the history of it, he's not negative. He's dedicated his life to this, but he's just looking at the statistical data. But at the same time, as he described, this is not something you would want to wrap up and put under the tree for Christmas. It's not a gift in that particular light. Yet, he acknowledges, as Dr. Hellowell does, is that just because you have it doesn't mean you can't flourish and you can't rely on some other things. And I just had to weave that in there because it was a powerful interview that we had with him. Then plus I have to go, Dr. Burton is an amazing, amazing interview. He's spectacular. Yeah. So if you did it, whatever you did, everybody go listen to it because he's spectacular. He's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, and it's going to be live next Tuesday evening. He's on the website, and it'll be he'll be live in person on camera, and I think he's got a PowerPoint as well that he's going to do, and we're going to take questions. Yeah, the usual things. And another interesting one is who you enjoy interviewing the most. I have to say, because you mentioned that question at one point, and I thought, it's an interesting one. I think when I'm with the person, I'm just enjoying that moment. I remember interviewing, I don't know if I should say her name, she's really involved, she's a coach and so on, and she sat down with me and she was obviously excited and a little nervous, and I asked a question and she talked for 45 minutes. It was hilarious. She talked about her and her husband having marital relations before they were married the very first time. She went all over. She talked about her kids. She talked about this. She, like four or five times she said, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And then she continued telling. It was so – and I just sat there. And finally, I had a list of like 20 questions. I got one out. She answered almost all the questions. The stuff was so great. We haven't used much of it yet, but oh my God, it was wonderful. Yep. And it was this moment of, man, how can you not love this woman? And you know, if this is a disorder, I get that it can cause disorder, but wow, what a mind.
Yep, yep.
She was just ruthless about her own stuff.
Yep.
and the difference she was out to make in the world. It was just great.
Who is the hardest to interview? Or who requires the most prep work? Either question, you can go with either one.
Well, I would say I don't do too much prep work because first of all, yeah, no, with someone who has a book, yes, I've done prep work. If it's just an expert or I haven't been able to read the book, I'm often asking the question because I know we want to make a video about the holistic approach. So I'm asking questions that are kind of leading in that direction. And what I often will say is some things of, you know, before a webinar, people will be saying, well, what are we going to talk about? What was I? And I say, and I've gotten such positive feedback from doctors and authors and everybody about this. I say, where is the most pain? Where is the biggest need? Where is the most ignorance? Where is the most fear? What are the worst myths that you want to get rid of? Whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about that. What's going to make the biggest difference to the most people in
wow.
the shortest amount of time? And that moment of, like, I'm out to change the world. I want the website to go under because we don't need it anymore. It won't but...
I'm having one of those ahas right now because I begin to listen to you because my answer would be like Dr. Parker, Dr. Barkley, and if I looked at the list, I'd probably name 10 others. And the reason for it is they're so wicked smart.
Yeah.
I've got to understand the material very, very well so I can bring it down to some stuff that I can understand and everybody else. And Dr. Parker's absolutely amazing, but I literally have to chunk my way kind of through it. And what occurs to me right now is we have a little bit different styles because I'll do a lot of researches, and I'm trying to explain what they're paying attention to in the background. You're telling a little bit more of the stories, which is a little bit different in our styles, which is kind of good, but it's just – even right now I'm having, oh, my God, I never really thought about that because there's – I remember for the emotion interview I did with Barkley years ago, I probably spent 5 hours trying to go through and trying to get a sense of what was going on so I could contain, because he talks very fast and covers a lot of material, to squish it down to 45 minutes and try to keep him on task. On the other hand, I'll tell you, Ari Tuckman is the guy I can call up and say, hey, Ari, I got an idea. He goes, I'm in, we're on the phone, and it's usually great. And it's really kind of cool because he's the guy that I call up, and it's fun because he goes, that's a really good topic, but I can do that on the fly, which is interesting because for me, the prep work depends on the people and kind of the topic that I'm kind of going in. So anyway, that's just from my side, it's kind of interesting to share because it does vary the amount of work that goes into the prep work. So.
Yeah, and it is, you know, it is really what I have had to learn is to shorten my questions. And so I'll tell you my worst interview was actually the first time I interviewed Dr. Barkley. We showed up at his office. He was supposed to be our first interview, I think, maybe our third. Anyway, we're in New York City. We show up at his clinic, and we're told he's been asked to do Oprah, and we've been bumped. And so instead we interviewed Dr. Laura Mugley, who worked with him at the time, and she was great. But we didn't have Dr. Halliwell. So we did an interview, but we ran out of budget, so we hired a camera crew down there, and I asked the questions over the phone. And I was so nervous that about six times I asked, so in your experience, and he would say, I think I've told you that I'm not a good example. And then, right, sorry, yeah, but so in general, what is the main myth or whatever? And And at one point he stopped me and he said, could I just give you some advice? You should ask shorter questions and let the person answer. And I was so embarrassed. But I also went, you know, I went, yeah, you're right. Sorry. But I was so excited to be talking to him, right? Because it was kind of this private conversation. Now, the finished interview, it's in the documentary. You see him in that room, in his office, and it's great. But I wanted to interview him again and maybe not talk so much. So he kept, whenever we'd bump into each other or emailing back and forth, he said, let's do something together because everything you do turns out to be a peach. And I took that as a compliment. And so so I said, well, we're down. I'm going to be down at WGBH in Boston doing the PBS Pledge thing there. Can we do an interview? And he said, yeah, come by the house. I'll tell my wife to leave the door open. I'm planning to fly from L.A. to New York, but I'll divert and go home, and then I'll later in the afternoon continue on to New York. And I thought, really? He said, oh, yeah, because what you do makes such a difference. This, you know, he said, I will change travel plans. So that was, like, what a compliment after that.
Absolutely.
You know, so then he says, yeah, just don't worry about the dog. The dog is not aggressive. Like, what? You're letting us into your house? So he gives us the address. We show up. It turns out his flight was early, and he was actually there, and the dog was, in fact, no problem at all. So we sat down in his living room and did this second interview, and we could have gone 3 hours, but he had a flight to make. But he, and he didn't want to leave. But it was the conversation, you know. And he is Russell Barkley is the guy doing the research. He knows the statistics. He's lost a brother who had ADHD in a car accident. So you don't have to convince him it's serious. He's trying to convince the world it's serious. So if he goes around saying it's a gift, well, then what's the problem? He's got to get people to understand that this is, you know, seven times the rate of multiple car accidents where you're at fault. You want to you have a teenager with ADHD, you want to know, right? So And of course, there's the flip side of statistically, what he's saying is if you don't do anything about this, it can ruin your life. And in fact, in ADD and Loving It, Dr. Halliwell says, undiagnosed and untreated, ADHD can absolutely ruin your life, absolutely cause havoc. You can end up dead. You can end up, it goes through the whole list, in jail, unemployed, That said, diagnosed, and then he goes off on, here's the hope, here's the potential.
Yep, absolutely.
But what I keep getting from this is my own experience is my own experience. And just as I said earlier, my wife really kind of went, wow, I can't imagine. There are things I hear from people, like I'm really good with direction. There are a lot of people who have no idea where anything is in, where their office is in relation to their house particularly. They just know if they go here, here, and here, or follow the GPS, they'll make it.
Yep.
Whereas maybe I'm more the hunter or whatever, and I can usually, if someone were to ask me which way is north, I'm usually in the ballpark, even if I'm indoors in a building. So,
well, that goes back to in the original documentary. I think there was a quote: "When you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD." And a couple years ago, we did another show that back in the DSM-4 days, if you took mathematically, there was over 18,000 different combinations of symptoms that could get you the diagnosis, and that's without taking into consideration comorbid conditions or severity. So that was another one. So, Rick, we have literally I think we could probably go on all weekend with this,
but
our hour is kind of up. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been an absolute blast.
Yeah, I just acknowledge you for doing what you're doing, playing to your strengths, finding a way to make a difference. And it's always great to talk to you. I love that someone actually talks faster than I do, and I can actually follow what he's saying. Awesome. It's kind of like I get a sense of what my wife goes through with me. So that's a great one. Thank you.
Touché. Well, you know, we can pack 3 hours of stuff into 1 hour. So everybody, thanks again, Rick, for coming on the show. Check out totallyadd.com and catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Take care.